Well, you're listening to All News All Morning on the Motherlode's news station, AM 1450 and FM 102.7 KVML. We have a special guest on the newsmaker line today. The Trump administration's U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, Alex Azar, is joining us. Secretary Azar, thank you for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be with you and your listeners.
Well, I know one thing that everybody wants to know about is when there will be a vaccine for COVID-19, and you would know more than about anyone on that topic. So what is kind of the latest when it comes to developing a vaccine?
Well, we are making incredible progress thanks to what President Trump has called Operation Warp Speed. What we're doing is we're bringing the entire power of the U.S. government, its financial resources, and our public and private sector together to develop these vaccines. And we now have 6 vaccines that we have either invested in or contracted with. 3 of those have already entered phase 3 clinical trials. That's the late stage clinical trials. So we are, as we speak, generating the data that hopefully we'll be able to establish that these vaccines are safe and effective and meet the FDA's gold standard for authorization here in the United States.
Do you have any type of tentative timelines that you're hoping to see at this point?
I don't. We're moving, obviously, as quickly as possible. We have already moved with historic speed, but we want to make sure the science and the data take us wherever they do. So the individuals right now are being vaccinated in the clinical trials. And then what happens is half of the people get a vaccine, half of the people get what's called a placebo. And then you have to see the experience of them in a community where there is an outbreak, and at some point an independent board reviews that data and determines that it has met the statistically significant endpoint, and that's when the data gets revealed to us, and then it'll be reviewed by the FDA.
You know, at the end of the day, would it be likely one vaccine that gets approved, or could there be a couple, 2 or 3, that get approved?
Well, we are placing many investments on the table. So we have 6 major investments already, and we may make more. And we believe that it is very credible that we will have in the high tens of millions of doses of FDA gold standard vaccine by the end of this year, and many hundreds of millions of doses as we enter into next year. That could be from one, but we think we have good chances of multiple candidates making the grade with the FDA's gold standard.
For the gold standard, is there something you can kind of share in regards to percentage of effectiveness that would likely cover?
So the FDA has actually laid out in its guidance very transparently what it would require in terms of approval. I believe they require 50% or greater efficacy in terms of baseline authorization. But of course, we would seek to have even higher levels of protective immunity than that. But we're going to have to see where the data comes in as these clinical trials enroll. We're making really good progress on getting people into those clinical trials. And I would encourage your listeners to please go to coronavirus.gov and consider enrolling in these vaccine trials. It's very important that we have a very diverse population in the trials. We've done very well across the board, although we really would like to see increased African-American enrollment in the trials to make sure that we have very good representation, especially given the disparate impact that this virus has had in the African-American community. We want to make sure that our numbers of people who are enrolled are as good there as we've seen, for instance, in the Latinx community and others.
People taking part in those trials, what exactly would they be doing?
They would be randomized. So first, they would, of course, have to consent to be informed about everything and consent to it. And then they would get either they'd get a shot. It would either be a vaccine or a placebo, but they don't know, nor do we know which one they've gotten. And then they would be monitored as to whether they contract COVID in the community over the coming weeks.
You know, when it comes to COVID-19 and when the vaccines are available, have you determined yet how they will be dispersed out to the general public?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, in fact, on Tuesday, at my request, the National Academy of Sciences, one of our premier expert bodies here in the United States, an independent group from the U.S. government, has convened a panel of outside experts to give us advice on how we should distribute and prioritize vaccine as it comes off the production lines. So they have posted some draft criteria And on Wednesday, they're holding an open meeting to basically ask for public comment on their draft, and that will help inform CDC and our own advisory committees as we go forward there.
When you look at the greater region of Northern California with the foothills and the Central Valley, do you have any observations about how we are faring here in comparison to other parts of the country when it comes to COVID-19?
Well, overall, nationwide, we're doing better. We're seeing a reduction in cases. We're seeing a reduction in hospitalizations. And thank heavens, we are seeing a reduction June, July, August period within our health system capacity. But in Northern California and elsewhere, we continue to say we need very heightened vigilance, and especially there in the Central Valley right now as we go into the Labor Day weekend, we need to all be very vigilant about the three W's that we advise. Wash your hands, watch your distance, and wear face coverings, and avoid crowded settings where you're not able to do those things. And that's not just overcrowded bars or overcrowded indoor dining, but it also means family gatherings. So large family gatherings, large household gatherings can put you just as much at risk. Being related or distantly related to individuals does not make you immune from contracting or spreading this disease. And we have to be very, we've seen many spreading events from household gatherings, and you can put multi-generational vulnerable individuals, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, very much at risk by not acting responsibly. So please be safe. We all have a role here over the holiday weekend.
Well, Secretary Azar, it's been great to be able to pose these questions directly to you. We thank you for getting us up to speed on what's taking place at the federal level in response to COVID-19.
My pleasure to be with you. Thank you.